I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m.
And Baltimore, this is Democracy Now!
This morning early, just after midnight, two drones struck our Gaza Freedom ship called the Conscience that was in international waters off Malta.
Palestinian solidarity activists are accusing Israel of bombing an aid flotilla which was preparing to sail to Gaza. We'll hear from retired U.S. Colonel Anne Wright and Greta Thunberg. They were both planning to join the Freedom Flotilla in Malta to break Israel's devastating two-month blockade of Gaza. Plus, we'll speak to Professor Angela Davis, who gave the keynote address last night at a Jewish Voice for Peace conference in Baltimore.
Palestine is now the very center of the world. The infinite hope of people everywhere who want to see a better world.
And we'll hear from some of the hundreds of thousands who marched in May Day protests across the United States to demand worker rights, freedom for Palestine, and protection for immigrants.
May Day, it represents a very united struggle, one of intersectional solidarity.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Israeli strikes on Gaza have killed at least 22 people today. One attack on the Burej camp killed nine members of the same family. This comes amid ever more dire warnings of mass starvation and death as Israel's total blockade on Gaza enters its third month. The World Health Organization deplored the mounting crisis, condemning the international community's complicity.
What I hear is that we are breaking the bodies and the minds of the children of Gaza. We are starving the children of Gaza. Because if we don't do something about it, we are complicit in what is happening before our very eyes. We are complicit. We are causing this.
In the Mediterranean, a ship carrying humanitarian aid bound for the Gaza Strip sent out a distress signal overnight after it was bombed by drones in international waters near Malta. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition is blaming Israel for the attack, which set the ship on fire, punched a substantial breach in its hull, and cut off communication with those aboard. The Maltese government said 12 crew members and four civilians were confirmed safe after a nearby tug helped put out the flames. Swedish activist Greta Thunberg is among 40 humanitarian volunteers who'd been planning to board the vessel, named the Conscience, to set sail for Gaza this weekend.
The silence and the passivity, largely from the outside world, is completely deadly. And we all have a moral responsibility to act against that and to do our part to demand accountability for war criminals and our own government's complicity in this genocide and illegal occupation and siege.
After headlines, we'll have an update on the attack on the Freedom Flotilla with retired U.S. Army colonel and former diplomat Anne Wright. Israel has again attacked Syria, striking near the presidential palace in Damascus earlier today. This follows recent deadly sectarian clashes in Syria involving the Druze community, which killed over 100 people. Syria's transitional government condemned all forms of foreign intervention. President Trump removed Mike Waltz as national security adviser Thursday amid fallout from what's known as Signalgate, in which Waltz added the editor of The Atlantic magazine to a group chat about Yemen war plans. Trump said he'll instead nominate Waltz as ambassador to the United Nations and has named Secretary of State Marco Rubio as interim national security adviser. A Reuters reporter snapped photographs of Mike Waltz using a modified version of Signal at a cabinet meeting as recently as this Wednesday. He appeared to have recent exchanges with Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Vice President J.D. Vance, and Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard. The U.S. has struck Yemen on a near-nightly basis since mid-March, killing over 250 people, according to reports, though experts say the true death toll could be twice as high. Thousands of people joined demonstrations across the United States Thursday for May Day, widely celebrated as International Workers' Day around the world. Protesters rallied for the rights of workers, immigrants and Palestinians, with much of their anger directed at the Trump administration and the billionaire takeover of Washington, D.C. This is Layan Fulihan, Education Director at the People's Forum.
What the Trump administration is doing right now is, in fact, trying to reorganize the system of governance and the organization of society in the United States that would actually take more wealth from the working class to line the pockets of the billionaire class. He's trying to aggregate powers into the executive branch. He's doing this by attacking hundreds of thousands of federal workers, attacking unions, stripping people of their bargaining rights, and going after all of the small concessions that the ruling class has been forced to give the people of the United States because of the pressure that came from grassroots struggles over the past decades.
In Philadelphia, police arrested 70 people for blocking a highway as part of May Day protests, while Senator Bernie Sanders rallied protesters outside Philadelphia City Hall as part of his Fighting Oligarchy tour. In Maryland, 16-year-old high school student Zion Paras joined protests in Baltimore.
I'm here because my friends and my family and my community have seen the injustices that have occurred because of the second Trump administration, and we believe that as students with voices that we should be able to stand up and fight for those rights.
Millions took part in May Day protests around the globe, including in Istanbul, Turkey, where police arrested hundreds of people. 50,000 officers were deployed ahead of the demonstrations, which came at a time of heightened tensions in Turkey following the arrest in March of Istanbul mayor and opposition politician Ekrem İmamoğlu. A federal judge has permanently barred the Trump administration from using the Alien Enemies Act to expel Venezuelan immigrants without due process from the Southern District of Texas. Judge Fernando Rodriguez Jr., who was appointed by Trump in his first term, rejected Trump's claim of an invasion by the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua to justify the expulsions. It's the first permanent ruling against Trump's use of the 1798 wartime law. The Bhutanese immigrant community says at least a dozen of its members have been caught up in the Trump administration's brutal detention and deportation crackdown. Those targeted are refugees who fled persecution of Bhutan's ethnic Nepali community and came to the U.S. under a program started nearly two decades ago by President George W. Bush. Their immigration status is not in question, but they've reportedly been targeted because they have criminal records. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, May Day protesters rallied Thursday to demand justice for Non Nhoc Nguyen, a 58-year-old Vietnamese refugee with dementia who was abducted by Immigration and Customs Enforcement and died in its custody last month. He was jailed after his annual check-in in February. His family was unable to locate him for weeks after he disappeared. They say he died from medical neglect, alone and unaware of his whereabouts. In Florida, another ICE detainee, a 44-year-old Haitian woman, died last week after spending over 2 months in an immigration jail. Florida Congressmember Sheila Sherfilus McCormick, the only Haitian American in Congress, called for an investigation into the death of Marie-Ange Blaise from the House floor on Wednesday.
Marie had been complaining about chest pain for hours. They gave her some pills and told her to go lie down. Unfortunately, Marie never woke up. Her loved ones deserve answers. They deserve accountability, like so many immigrant families who have their loved ones missing and who are hurt. These conditions at the ICE facilities are inhumane.
The Washington Post reports the Trump administration has tapped officers with the U.S. Postal Inspection Service to help federal immigration officials locate undocumented immigrants using data from mail and packages. Video of a weekend raid in Colorado Springs confirms that postal inspectors joined officers from other law enforcement agencies, including ICE, the FBI, and the Internal Revenue Service, as they arrested more than 100 undocumented immigrants on Sunday. It's the first time the Postal Inspection Service has been used for immigration enforcement since it was founded by Benjamin Franklin in 1775. The founder of the Trump family's cryptocurrency venture said Thursday that a fund backed by Abu Dhabi will make a $2 billion investment in crypto exchange Binance using a Trump-branded crypto coin. The deal could generate hundreds of millions of dollars for the Trump family, constituting a major contribution by a foreign government to the president of the United States. Robert Weissman, co-president of Public Citizen, responded, quote, "This is far more than is captured by the term conflict of interest. It is foreign policy for sale and justice for sale," he said. President Trump signed an executive order Thursday seeking to end federal funding for public radio and TV stations through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting after accusing NPR and PBS of spreading, quote, radical woke propaganda disguised as news, end quote. It's likely the order will be challenged in court, and it's unlikely to have an immediate impact since the CPP is funded for 2 years in advance to protect it from political interference. The Trump administration has cut $1 billion in mental health grants for schools that had been approved by a bipartisan Congress in the wake of the 2022 Uvalde school shooting that killed 21 people. The Education Department said the funding was canceled because it violated the Trump administration's ban on DEI, since the grants sought to increase the diversity of mental health workers in schools. The UN human rights chief warned, quote, "The horror unfolding in Sudan knows no bounds," unquote, as at least another 40 people were killed earlier this week in attacks by the Rapid Support Forces on the besieged city of El Fasher and Abu Shouk camp in North Darfur. Over 540 people have been reported killed in North Darfur over the past 3 weeks, though the actual death toll is likely much higher. The World Food Program is warning time is running out to secure food aid for millions of people in need.
Rainy season is just around the corner, and we're in a race against time to pre-position food in areas that will be cut off when the rains come. During the rains last year, we saw a major surge in hunger and in disease outbreaks. At the moment, we're reaching 4 million people, but we need to scale that up to reach at least 7 million people.
Back in the United States, the House voted Thursday to block California from banning all new sales of gasoline-powered cars by 2035. Nearly three dozen Democrats joined Republicans in their vote. California received a federal EPA waiver in 2022, greenlighting its ambitious plan to transition to zero-emission vehicles. 11 other states, including New York and Massachusetts, have also adopted the rule. If Congress overturns their plans, some 40% of the U.S. auto market could be affected. The Government Accountability Office and the Senate parliamentarians say the Clean Air Act waiver cannot be repealed by Congress, though that ruling is not binding. The Senate will now vote on the measure, where Republicans need only a simple majority to pass it. In related news, the Republican-led Senate on Thursday overturned an EPA rule that limits the seven most toxic air pollutants from industrial facilities, including chemical plants and oil refineries. It's expected to also pass in the House. And a new study published in the journal Science finds three-quarters of all bird species are in decline across North America, with the strongest declines occurring in areas where species were most abundant. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Nermeen Sheikh in New York with Amy Goodman in Baltimore. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Nermeen, and welcome to all our listeners, readers, and viewers around the country and around the world. I'm here in Baltimore, where thousands are attending the national meeting of Jewish Voice for Peace. Last night, among those who spoke, was the Detroit Congressmember Rashida Tlaib, the only Palestinian-American Congress member, and also the civil rights legend Angela Davis, who will be joining us live on the broadcast later.
In the Mediterranean, a ship carrying humanitarian aid for Gaza sent out a distress signal overnight after it was bombed by drones in international waters near Malta. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition, which organized the voyage, is blaming Israel for the attack, which set the ship on fire, punched a substantial breach in the hull, and cut off communication with those aboard. The Maltese government said 12 crew members and four civilians were confirmed safe after a nearby tug helped put out the flames. Dozens of international activists were preparing to board the boat and head to Gaza. Just before the broadcast, Democracy Now! Reached retired U.S. colonel and former State Department official Anne Wright, who was in Malta waiting to board the flotilla.
My name is Anne Wright, retired Army colonel, former U.S. diplomat, and I'm here in Malta with the Gaza Freedom Flotilla. And this morning early, just after midnight, two drones struck our Gaza Freedom ship called the Conscience that was in international waters off Malta. And if you remember, we've been sending ships to challenge the Israeli illegal naval blockade of Gaza since 2008. And actually, 15 years ago in 2010 was when the Mavi Marmara was attacked by the Israelis and 10 people killed and 50 wounded. I was on one of the smaller boats that were part of that flotilla. And since then, we've sent over 35 boats to challenge the Israeli blockade of Gaza. And now our flotilla is challenging not only that blockade that has kept all of the food and water and everything out of Gaza now for almost a month and a half, on the genocide that the U.S. is complicit of, the Israeli genocide of at least 55,000-60,000 Palestinians in Gaza, and then the ethnic cleansing of the West Bank. But right here, we are in Malta dealing with a brutal attack on an innocent ship, a ship that was at anchor or outside in territorial waters, waiting for us, the activists, to come on board so that we could then head toward Gaza to say to the world that here are some citizens that are willing to take action. Where our governments fail to act, we, the citizens, are trying to act to bring international attention to what is happening to the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. And to be attacked by two drones that caused massive damage to our ship called the Conscience, to see that while we cannot yet identify the source of the drones, there is no doubt in my mind that there is a history of violence that has been directed toward the flotillas from the state of Israel, and probably the complicity of the United States in it, and probably part of NATO, too. So we are here to stand up for the people of Gaza, for the people of the West Bank, as international humanitarians and human rights defenders when we see a genocide going on in Gaza. We have people from 22 nations. We've got young and old, and we've got people of note. We have Yvonne Ridley, who's one of the great authors. We have a very young person, Greta Thunberg, and two of her friends from Sweden who have been doing Palestine solidarity work in Sweden and wanted to be a part of this. So we have the very young, and we have the older folks, too. We have people that are from the global south, from Argentina, from Chile, from Venezuela, from Colombia, from Brazil. We have people that are all over Europe, all over in North America. So it's a good crew that we have here. Our Malaysian contingent has been here, and we've got great heart and great spirit for the people of Palestine, which is the focus of these flotillas, to bring attention to the illegal criminal acts that the state of Israel is doing on Palestine.
That was retired U.S. Colonel Anne Wright speaking in Malta about the Gaza aid flotilla that was just attacked by drones last night. The Swedish activist Greta Thunberg, who she mentioned, was also preparing to join that flotilla in Malta.
For 2 months now, not a single bottle of water has entered Gaza, and it's a systematic starvation of 2 million people. And Palestinians have been resisting the unimaginable oppression for decades, and the silence and the passivity largely from the outside world is completely deadly, and we all have a moral responsibility to act against that and to do our part to demand accountability for war criminals and our own government's complicity in this genocide and illegal occupation and siege. the ship is currently still, as far as I know, at the location where it was attacked, because if it would move, too much water would come in and it would sink. So that is where we are right now. What happens now is uncertain, but what is certain is that us human rights activists will continue to do everything in our power to do our part to demand a free Palestine and demand the opening of a humanitarian corridor. The coming days and the coming months and years.
That was Swedish activist Greta Thunberg speaking in Malta, where she was preparing to join the Gaza Freedom Flotilla, which was attacked by drones last night. Coming up, we'll hear from some of the hundreds of thousands who marched in May Day protests across the United States. Stay with us.
Ser tu hermana, tu hija, Tamara, Pamela o Valentina. Yo puedo ser tu gran amiga, incluso tu compañera de vida. Yo puedo ser tu gran aliada, la que aconseja y la que apaña. Yo puedo ser cualquiera de todas, depende de cómo tú me apodas. Pero no voy a ser la que obedece, porque mi cuerpo me pertenece. Yo decido de mi tiempo, cuando quiero y dónde quiero. Independiente yo nací, independiente decidí. Yo no camino detrás de ti, yo camino de la para aquí. Tú no me vas a humillar, tú no me vas a gritar. Tú no me vas a someter, tú no me vas a callar. Tú no me vas a denigrar, tú no me vas a golpear. Tú no me vas a denigrar, tú no me vas a callar. No sumisa ni obediente, mujer fuerte, insurgente, independiente y valiente. Romper la cadena de lo indiferente, no pasiva ni oprimida. Mujer linda, que das vida, emancipada en autonomía. Antipatriarca y alegría. Yo puedo ser jefa de hogar, empleada o intelectual. Yo puedo ser protagonista de mi historia y la
That's Ana Tijoux singing Anti-Patriarchy in our studio in 2014. She came back to our studio recently as she launched her tour for her new album, Vida. To see our interviews with her in Spanish and in English, go to democracynow.org.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. Millions around the world celebrated the International Workers' Day of May Day on Thursday, including hundreds of thousands here in the United States. Unions and immigrant rights groups led rallies in every state against the Trump administration's attack on labor protections, immigrants and asylum seekers, diversity initiatives and federal employees. In California, fast food workers marched alongside university workers. An estimated 250,000 people marched in Chicago under a coalition led in part by the Chicago Teachers Union. Police arrested 70 people for blocking the highway in Philadelphia after a rally at City Hall where independent Senator Bernie Sanders spoke against Trump's billionaire agenda. Sanders has been on a nationwide fighting the oligarchy tour with Democratic Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, who addressed a May Day rally in Manhattan Thursday night.
We should never underestimate the power of organizing right now in this moment. When they see us gather in the streets, you should know. When why go back to Washington, they talk about it and they are getting very afraid. They are getting nervous, New York. And I want to give you a perfect example of this right now. We've seen with our federal workers, them being laid off, cuts across the board. We've been seeing our VA workers and those who serve our veterans being cut off and laid off without dismissal. We've been seeing individuals calling for a ceasefire, getting locked up and suspended of their due rights. Next week, the Republican caucus was scheduled to mark up is scheduled to mark up cuts, dramatic cuts to Medicaid, to seniors and vulnerable people across the country. But we've been rallying, folks, In fact, right now, as I speak here, Senator Sanders is at a 5,000-person rally in Philadelphia. And we are joined by brothers and sisters across the country. And one of the things that I've just learned coming up on this stage is we've been rallying in Idaho, 12,000 people in Idaho, 36,000 in Los Angeles, 34,000 in Denver, 23,000 in Tucson, 15,000 in Phoenix, 9,000 in Missoula, Montana, and today 6,000 here, right here in Foley Square in New York City. And as I was walking up to this stage, we found out that they have stopped and suspended next week's Medicaid cuts because they're getting too scared.
That was New York Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez addressing the May Day rally in New York. She's been crisscrossing the country with Bernie Sanders on their fighting oligarchy tour. Democracy Now!'s Maria Inez Terracena was in the streets as thousands marched in New York and spoke to some of the protesters.
In Queens.
What is the significance of this day? It's May Day. What does May Day mean to you and everyone who's gathered here in the era of Trump's second presidency?
Yeah, I mean, May Day, it represents a very united struggle, one of intersectional solidarity. May Day represents all of the labor wins that working people have won throughout decades, and it really represents the energy of the fight that we are ready to put up against this Trump administration, especially when we know that the administration is the enemy to the worker. And so it's a beautiful thing to say, all workers, we're standing with each other. And you see it out in this crowd. You have unions, you have community-based organizations, you have immigrant workers, queer and trans workers, you have workers of every stripe, color, and creed, and it's a really beautiful thing. And also, we know that this is the last line of defense, especially at the local level, and so getting really clear about what our agenda is, what exactly we are going to be fighting for.
My name is Luz Campoverde. I'm a member of Laborers Local 79. We are here to fight for our rights, to fight for our freedom, to fight for dignified work and for respect for our immigrant brothers and sisters, regardless of being undocumented or not. We want freedom to work, to support our families, our children. My message is that without immigrants, the United States would suffer. Our work has enriched this country. We are hard workers. We are fighters. We are not criminals.
My name is Queen Amor. I am a trans woman of color, born of a black Cuban refugee who is my father. And born from an immigrant, I understand the importance of fighting for the liberation of migrants. I chose to dress like the Statue of Liberty in shackles because the Statue of Liberty used to be a beacon of hope for those seeking refuge and those seeking asylum and those seeking a sense of liberty. People who want to work and people who want to be here and feel safe, who have a right to be here and a right to feel safe. But that is not extended to people who are black migrants, people who are brown migrants, people who speak something other than English. We're living where racism is dominating our communities.
We're
able to fight for the liberation and a unified solidarity among the working class.
We don't get it!
My name is is T.D. Mitchell. I'm a professional writer and a member of the Writers Guild of America. I've been a union member since I was 18 years old, so the fight of labor has always been my fight. My mom is also a union member, a state employees union member, and she really instilled in me the desire to protest, desire to make some noise and make good trouble. I think it's very important as a disabled person, as a wheelchair user, to represent those in my community who are too ill and in bed and cannot be here to advocate for themselves. So I feel that while I have the